just come again into your presence. Where else do we want to hang out? But we come into your presence because of our love and because of all that Jesus has done. And Father, we just lay down stuff. I don't know if you had stuff getting here or stuff last week. We just lay it down, Father, and our eyes and our ears are tuned into you this morning. And we thank you that they're open. And Father, we are asking for our eyes to be open and see and to hear words from you. Father, answers from you, direction from you. Anybody want to believe for that? Amen. Amen. And Father, I thank you that you would anoint my words as I deliver your word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, I'm going to put this over here because it's bugging me in my pocket. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, who remembers what we talked about last week? Louder. Some of you are like, I don't know what you talked about. Well, okay, we talked about the blood, and we said, if you go plowing through your Old Testament, you're going to see a lot of stuff about the blood. Anybody take me up on doing a little work? Lots of stuff about the blood. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, if you had sinned, you messed up, you had to offer a sacrifice of an animal, okay? Blood. All right, then also we have these kings like King David and King Solomon. There were times they would have celebrations to God because he had done some great things. And you would be flipping out if you saw the amount of animals that they sacrificed back then, okay? So that was a way that they were told how to honor God, sacrificing these animals, all right? So how many are you glad that you're not going to go home to your wife and say, hey, honey, we got to go get a lamb and we need to sacrifice it? Anybody glad you're not going to do that today? Yeah, especially you animal lovers, okay. And I wouldn't be doing it either because, you know, I don't, this thing about blood, how many remember? Like, I just say that and my knees start getting jelly. So my friend JoJo back there reminded me of something, but years ago we did a blood drive here through the American Red Cross. And this is before I knew that my knees turned to jelly when you talk about blood or I see blood. So guess what I signed up? I'm going to give blood. So I signed up to give blood, and all of a sudden, you know, they hook you up, all of a sudden our associate pastor, I open my eyes, and he's like this, praying over me. Because I was one of those, didn't do good doing that. So anyway, but I have since learned that I love the blood, all right? Okay, I'm not sure if I'm going to give blood, but anyway. I will, okay. Oh yeah, white, you know, and they're praying over me. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so last week we also talked, you're laughing, Glenn, but it was the truth. So last week we talked about, and if you weren't here, you can go online and listen to it. We said the blood purchased us, the blood purifies us, the blood establishes God's promises for us. And it gives us peace, the blood gives us peace with God, the blood gives us nearness to God, and the blood of Jesus causes us to overcome. Again, if you weren't here last week, I love that you missed it, but you can go online, all right? So go on online and listen to that, all right? So I knew where I was going last week today, but I just didn't want to announce it. So we talked about the blood last week, and today we're going to talk about this thing called pleading the blood. Now, if you are new to your Bible, if you're new to Jesus, you're like, oh, she's weird, I'm out of here. Stay put. Okay, please stay put, all righty? Now, if you grew up in a Christian home really years ago and you heard this statement, plead the blood, you need to cover them with the blood, you need to apply that with the blood, okay? Anybody ever hear that statement before? Any of those? Good, you're the, oh, I was going to say you're the oldies, but you're not, okay? You grew up in a home that did that, all righty? So, That's a statement, and I want us to dig into it. I want us to dig into it, all right? Because it's really important that we understand the blood and what this does, all righty. So, now, the blood is still important. Now, we live under what? the new covenant. Everybody living under the new covenant, because you're not sacrificing animals, right? You live under the new covenant. And actually, if you were to take a real Bible like this and cut it in half, the one side is you read and you should think, this is really not New Testament, Old Testament, but be thinking, this is Old Covenant and this is New Covenant, all right? And again, we live under a new covenant. As a matter of fact, it says in Hebrews, we live under a better covenant with established with better promises. How many like better? Yeah. All right, so now listen, they had a good covenant, and it had good promises, but I also like what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, a little better look at my notes, verse 19, it says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no, and then it says this, for all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So those good promises, well, I think promises should be good, but the good promises in the old covenant, guess what they are still? Yes and amen, all right, in Christ Jesus. So today, we're going to talk about this idea of you and I and the blood of Jesus, applying the blood of Jesus, covering with the blood of Jesus, all right? So that's what we're going to dig in today. And you might be thinking, Pastor D, is that really important? Like, Pastor D, is that something that's for us today? Everybody say yes. Okay, yes. Well, good. So if you're thinking not, okay, let me tell you, where's Lane? It's crazy out there. Lane was saying, I'm like, yeah, it is crazy out there. We live in a crazy world. Listen, and you might think, oh, yeah, but it was crazy back then, you know, when my... No, it is really crazy now, all right? Just think about your kids going to school. It's crazy, all right? Some of the things that are going on in schools, some of the things, you never know what they're going to do, you know, in schools, okay? But, now, matter of fact, you know, I was thinking about... You know, it's crazy back when I lived with the dinosaurs way back then. But you know what the worst thing that we did in high school? Not me. It's my brother, but not me. Is we pulled the fire alarm. That was like the worst thing that was going on. And you know, I loved it because everybody was outside on the front lawn. It was like a picnic, all right, until they checked out the whole building. And of course, only pulled the alarm in nice weather, right? Okay. But today, it's kind of crazy out there. So I think a little secret of knowing I plead the blood over my kids. And you might be thinking, well, what good is it? Well, that is why you're here this Sunday morning. We're going to talk about pleading the blood and what it's all about. But I have to lay some preferences on what pleading the blood is not. The pleading the blood is not begging, okay? So when you hear pleading, you think someone's begging. Guys, we did not come into a covenant, a new and better covenant where we have to go, oh my God, okay? No begging, okay? Pleading the blood is not begging God for stuff, right? All right? As a matter of fact, where does it say come boldly to the throne of grace, right? Come boldly. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, it says come outspoken. All right? So God wants you to come boldly in and talk to him. Come outspoken and talk to him. No begging, okay? So pleading the blood has nothing to do with begging. Also, pleading the blood has nothing to do with superstition. Like some people think, ooh, you're pleading the blood, okay? And it's like, I have this lucky rabbit foot in my pocket, okay? No, has nothing to do with that. But I will say this, and this is really important. Pleading the blood, and you ought to write this down, pleading the blood never overrides the being led by the Spirit of God. Pleading, okay, 9/11, and we're the anniversary's coming up in a week. So I can't remember how many testimonies I heard of people that the Holy Spirit spoke to them that morning, that inward witness, that voice of the Holy Spirit, don't go to work, right? You hear those stories? So again, the Holy Spirit, pleading the blood doesn't override the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you're like, don't go to work, and you're like, well, I'm just going to plead the blood. I'm pleading the blood, okay? You know, guess what might happen? The thing that he said not to go or not to do might just happen because you're like, pff, pff, you know, okay? So, and you might say, well, Pastor D, shouldn't pleading the blood, applying the blood, covering the blood do something? Oh, yeah, it does. But if the Holy Spirit is leading you, okay, don't override that, okay? And we believe being led by the Holy Spirit here, by the way, okay? So don't override the Holy Spirit leading you, okay? Don't say, you know, like the Holy Spirit's don't go, and you're like, I'm just going to plead the blood. I don't, you know, like I know so much. Well, tell me about tomorrow, okay? All right, so enough of that. So those are things that the pleading the blood has nothing to do with. And this is the important thing. Always remember, we're led by our Holy Spirit. Now, you're not going to do it just because Pastor D said to do it, but you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let him talk to you when you plead the blood and when you go follow, all right? So today, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Passover in the Old Covenant, all right? How many of you know about the Passover? If you don't, you're at the right place today, okay? We're going to talk a lot about that, all right? Now, during the Passover, God asked the children of Israel to do some things, okay? And now you remember, God raised up Moses. Moses is this great man of God. And then all these plagues were going to come, right? These plagues were going to come. And if they would come, they were going to come really on the Israelites. But if you did what God said to do, okay, they weren't going to come on you, the Israel, excuse me, Dad, I said that wrong. The plagues were going to come on the Egyptians, okay, they were going to come, but if you didn't do what God said to do, they'd come on you, okay? But God gave specific directions. I love giving directions. Anybody found that out? Okay, but he gave very specific directions on what to do and what not to do. So, such as the children of Israel, they lived on this side of town. They had become slaves, okay? And they had to live over here. And then we got the Egyptians, because you're not one of those. You're living over here, right? You live over here. And then the plagues come, okay, like the frogs. I think frogs are cute, okay, but nah. Frogs like wall-to-wall frogs, like frogs all over the place, okay? Now, the children of Israel that lived over here, no frogs. The Egyptians that lived over here, frogs, ridiculous, okay? And one of the other plagues was, this one creeps me out, it's like right next to blood, lice. Okay, not a little lice, like lice, okay? So the children of Israel over here, no lice, thank you, Jesus. The Egyptians over here, lice, like lots of lice, okay? Now, there were 10 plagues. But the 10th plague, we call the Passover, right? You all know that? Write that down, the Passover, okay? And God said, I want you to take the blood of a lamb, kill this lamb. I want you to take the blood, and where are you supposed to put it? Yep, around the doorposts, okay? So I want you to kill the lamb. I want you to put the blood on the doorpost, and then the angel of death will come over you, and you're all going to do fine, but the angel of death was going to come all over Egypt, okay? And their firstborns were going to die. But if you put the blood, follow the directions, because God said put the blood of a lamb over the doorpost, it's going to come over you, okay? You all know that story? So I want to ask you a question, because you know, people are people, right? So here's my question. Do you think some people back then, just like people today, would have said, you know, I know better than God. I mean, come on. He gave me a brain. Do you think they had people back then like that? Because people are people, okay? So, it would be really good for you if God says to do something that you do that, right? It would be really good. Now, and also, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, so yeah. So wouldn't it be nice when God speaks that you follow and do what he says? Yes, you can all have a lollipop after church, amen. Okay, So back to our story. So God raised up Moses, and God spoke to Moses and through Moses, and he said, you know, Moses said, says, I want you to kill the lamb, I want you to put it on the doorpost, and then the angel's going to go right by you. The angel's going to go right by you, except for all of you JoJos that did not do that. Right? But the directions, I want you to put the blood on the doorpost and the angel will go right by you. Okay. Now, I've said this before. As a matter of fact, like a week ago, praise the Lord, Pastor D, just smile. So people say to me occasionally, and then this thing last week, I don't listen to no man. I only listen to God. It's like, oh, you cute thing. You know? I don't listen to no man. I only listen to God. Well, Moses was a man, right? And God called him, God raised him up, and God spoke through him, right? So the children of Israel were actually under Moses, all right? And it gave directions and they did it. Well, maybe you're supposed to be under people, and there's lots of scriptures in the Bible about being under people for a reason. All right, but they were under Moses for a reason. God raised them up, gave them directions, and I'm so glad they did. So what if somebody says, I don't want to put the blood on my doorpost. I don't want to do that. Well, I'm pretty sure it didn't end too good, right? It didn't end too good, right? Okay, so I say all of that because I want us to go through the Passover in the Old Covenant. That's what we're going to do today, okay? And you can open up your Bibles to Exodus, okay? We're going to dig into the book of Exodus. But before, put your finger in Colossians, so two places, okay? Colossians, okay? I'm going to give you Colossians before we really dig into Exodus and the Passover. Colossians is a New Testament, and listen, New Testament scripture that talks about the blood for New Testament people. Anybody a New Testament believer? This scripture is for you, New Testament, all right? New Testament. So, and the reason why we're going to do it, the blood is still significant today in the New Covenant, today for us, all right? So we know the blood saves us, the blood purifies us, the blood forgives us, okay? All of that's important. But here's the but what if. What if we use our authority? Everybody say authority. God-given authority in Jesus. Say in Jesus. So you and I have authority in Jesus. So what if we use our authority in Jesus by also exercising the blood? We have authority and we have blood, okay? How about if you do that? So what if the blood, we use the blood and the authority? Whoa, baby, it's going to be great, right? So now, I have to say this. I don't want you to do one of these. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. That's true. I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Okay, that's like a parrot, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? We are talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, but there is a time to plead the blood, okay? So being led, you got something going on at home, you got something going on at work, you got something going on with your house. How about you say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and I plead the blood over this situation. And then, you know, so again, you have an authority in Christ, and also you can use the blood of Jesus. So this is just not some little old thing. It is pretty big, all right? So the blood is not magic. The blood is actually powerful, and you need to know the difference of that. So open up to Colossians chapter 1. Here we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, 13. Ready? Here we go. For he has rescued us. We sang a song about that. Wow, that was so good. For he has rescued us and has drawn us to himself from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Verse 14, this is good. In whom we have redemption because of his sacrifice, resulting in what? The forgiveness of our sins and the cancellation of sin's penalty. How many of you know that every single one of us had a charge against us? We had a charge because of the penalty of our sin. But Jesus' blood has paid the price. So I don't. You don't. Okay? So this is precious blood, all right? Precious blood. Now, if you're taking notes and you have one of these yellow cards, this is a good thing, but if you're taking notes, this is a little long and they're going to pop it up and leave it up for a little bit, okay? But this is a quote. I forgot what book I got it out of. Remind me later, I remember. But listen to this, this is so good. The power that saves us is also the power that releases, delivers, and neutralizes the enterprises of hell and the weakness of the flesh. Okay? So, you know, after I read that and after you chew on that, you think, you know, I think we should be more familiar with the blood. I think it's pretty wow, right? All right? It's not just something, you know, oh, I heard about that once. I think there's something really significant about the blood, all right? So, you can exercise the blood of Jesus over situations in your life, all right? You can exercise them over your kids, over your marriage, over your house, okay? So it's pretty important. Now, let me tell you a story. You have a baby, and they don't run a marathon after the next day, right? It's a growing, right? It's just a growing thing. Same with the Word of God. So I have grown in this, but I'll tell you in my couple of stories, the first, second, and third time I heard about the blood. I did not grow up. I grew up going to church, but I never heard about plead the blood, cover the blood. What are you talking about? So this was the first time. Jack and I are on vacation. We used to like to go scuba diving, and we were going to go scuba diving in this country, okay, surrounded by water, which was so beautiful, okay, and Jack decided to contact some pastors and say, hey, would you like me to speak in your church? So, and I was going to train children's ministers. He's going to speak at the church. So we're on vacation, and the pastor picks us up at the airport, loads the car up with our luggage, okay? And before he turns the car on, he prays. And I thought, oh, okay. And he prays, Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I plead the blood over the car. I plead the blood over everybody in the car. I plead the blood around everybody around us. And I thought, oh, isn't that cute? That's really kind of cute. Well, I've never heard that before. You know, because I didn't know that. All right. Then we left the airport. 5 minutes down the road, we are driving up this mountain. This narrow mountain in a minivan with no guardrails. You know what I did the next time we got in that car? I plead the blood, okay? Father God, I plead the blood over this car, over us, and safety in Jesus' name, okay? So I was a fast learner, all righty? So, all right. Okay, some of you, I'm just going to look at the ceiling. I've driven with you. Yep, I have driven with you. And you know what I do? God, I am pleading the blood. Okay, now, every time I fly, I plead the blood. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I pray the blood over this plane and everybody in it. We're going to land safely in Jesus' name. And then a couple of years later, you know, that was my first story on this island. Probably about 10 years later, I heard Billy Brim. Anybody hear of Billy Brim? A fantastic teacher of the Word of God. Just make your hair curl, okay? So she's teaching on the blood. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. I know a little bit about the blood. Okay, so she's teaching on the blood, and she tells this story that she shared this story. She says, I plead the blood when I travel and over my luggage. I heard that. I said, oh, my gosh. Because Jack and I had just come back from a trip, and guess what? My luggage got lost. It didn't show up for 3 days, okay? So guess what I do now when I travel? Father God, I thank you for the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I cover the blood over this airplane and everybody in it, and my luggage will be there when I land there and not broken. I edit that one to it, too. Okay? If you have kids that are learning how to drive, okay, I remember yelling, mailbox, mailbox, telephone pole, telephone pole. And then I thought, I'm pleading the blood. Oh, no, this is really true. This is true. No exaggeration, okay? So I thought, please, and Father God, they need the blood, all right? I'm just saying, okay? So those of you that have kids or grandparents, how about, you know, not crazy, but Father, I plead the blood over my kids, amen? All right, so that's some of my examples. You over turn to Exodus chapter 12. Praise God for the blood. Amen. Exodus 12, we're going to talk about this whole idea about the Passover. Now, the Passover is on Old Covenant, but we said those are promises, precious promises for us all. New covenant. So you got to use both sides of your brains today, okay? The Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Now the blood. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Do you think the blood is still a sign? Oh, yeah. It was a sign to them. It's still a sign, okay? So I know about the blood. I know a little bit about the blood now, okay? The blood forgives us, right? The blood forgives us, okay? And you know, God knows before I do something dumb that I'm going to do something dumb. And you know what? He still forgives me. So I'm going to apply the blood. Father, I'm applying the blood. I just did something wrong. And he, you know, you can have that blood just cover you and forgive you, all right? Now, that last part, and this day it shall be a memorial to you. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, all right? So, you know what they're saying? Every generation is going to look back to where they put the blood on and the angel passed over, all right? Every generation is going to do that, and they're going to remember that as a sign that they were saved. So every generation is going to look back and remember that God saved them. Alrighty, so, you know, do you see that word ordinance in that scripture? Do you know that we have ordinances in our church? And guess what one of them is? Communion, okay? We call that an ordinance in the church, okay? Communion, alrighty? So here's my question. What are we remembering, what are we remembering when we take communion, okay? The body, right? The body and the blood. The body that was broken and crushed and bruised for us so that we would have healing, all right? And the blood, right? You said the blood and for you and I so that our sins would be forgiven, right? And it would bring us into a new and better covenant. So that's what we remember. Now, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So again, we're going to look at this pleading of the blood, all righty? And we're going to look at the Old Testament, what God said, and what it says for us today. So, I don't know, Pastor D. You're just a little extreme on this blood thing. Really? Okay. You may be the best driver. My hand wouldn't go out for that. Okay, you may think you're the best driver on the whole planet, but then there's other people. All right? Anybody know about other people on the road? All right? Some of those other people on the road almost made me cuss, dear Jesus, because they cut me off, all right? Those are other people. So how about we know about the blood because of other people, all righty? Okay, I could tell you more stories about other people. But I want to talk about four things about the blood and the Passover and the blood and us. Okay, now I'd probably do more, but I'm just going to do four. So if you're taking notes, what about the blood and the Passover, and what about the blood for us, okay? Number one, the blood provides protection. Write that down, okay? Now, we're living, you know, it's not like we don't have anything to say because we're living under the new covenant, so we can say, Father, I'm pleading the blood. Lord, I'm applying the blood over this situation, okay? We can do that, okay? Now, the children of Israel, okay, not us, but them, the children of Israel at the Passover time, the blood was for what? The blood was for their protection, right? The blood was for their protection. Okay, now, the protection from what? There were 10 plagues coming. Now, how many of you remember some plagues a couple years ago that hit the planet, right? How about you need the blood? Yeah. Okay, so, but they were applying the blood for these plagues, okay? Now, so the children of Israel were told to bring a lamb in, they were to kill the lamb, put the blood on the lamb, and then the death angel would pass over, okay? Now, it could be, it's probably, was a little painful for them to do that. Like that was their pet lamb. Don't ever name your animals if you want to eat them, all right? So that was probably painful for them. But listen to this. The blood of Jesus, okay, talks about our redemption. And redemption was painful. Why? Jesus was going to leave heaven. He was going to come to the planet. He was going to be the lamb that was slain. He was going to be the spotless lamb, okay? That was painful, right? Now, the children of Israel actually did the same thing. They took a lamb without spot, that was without wrinkle, okay, and they were going to slay it. But our Jesus came from heaven, and he was going to die on the cross, and he was going to be slain for us. Okay, so that was a little painful, right? Now, redemption had a price, and who paid the price? Jesus paid the price. Redemption had a price, and Jesus paid the price for us, okay? So his blood paid the price so that you didn't have to go through all this pain. Praise God. So the price, the blood that was shed, was also for our protection. So if you take notes, it was for protection, all right? Now, and that's why we can plead the blood for protection. Here's number two if you're taking notes, okay? So we're looking at the Old Testament, but we're also seeing what it has to do with for the New Testament. So here's our second one. The blood was a means of deliverance for them, okay? God was going to deliver them. And in case you didn't know, they were slaves for 430 years. They were in slavery for 430 years, okay? And God was going to deliver them, right? Now, quick review how it all started. How'd they get into this mess? Okay, quick review. Joseph. Everybody remember Joseph? His brothers sold him into slavery. And guess where he ended up? In Egypt. Okay, so it started with Joseph. He ended up in slavery. He ended up in Egypt. And then Pharaoh at that time, not the Pharaoh that Moses is going to deal with, okay? But Pharaoh at that time promotes, after quite a few years, promotes Joseph to what? Number two in the nation of Israel. Of nation of Egypt. He's running it, okay? But then Pharaoh dies, but Joseph dies, and now they have a new Pharaoh. Now they have a new Pharaoh, okay? And this Pharaoh is looking at the children of Israel, and he goes, oh my gosh, there's so many of them. They're like their own nation. They're like taking over the place. You know what we're going to do? We're going to make them slaves. We're going to make them do the dirty work, okay? So they're all slaves now. Then 430 years go by, and what? God says something. God says, I hear my people cry. I hear the cries of my people. I hear the cries of my people. And you know, when I read that, the Lord just rose up and he says, I always hear your cry. God's not deaf today. We could hear back then. No, God always, you need to know that. He hears you, all right? So they're crying out for God, and God hears their cry, and then God raises up Moses. Now, Moses is kind of an interesting story because basically he was adopted. Right? He got adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, right? Okay? And here's the crazy thing, or interesting. The interesting thing is Pharaoh just decided, because all these Israelites are just like, just taken over, he decides anybody, all the babies were going to be killed. So, yet here's his daughter who sees this baby floating downstream. She picks it up and she adopts him into her family, okay? And you know what's even interesting? She's looking for somebody to nurse this baby. And you know who she picks? Really, God did that. Her own mother, Moses' own mother. She got hired. She got paid to be a mother. Hope you're paying your mothers really good, okay? So anyway, moving on the story, Moses grows up and he realizes he has a call from God. Yep. And you know why? He is, let me back up. So he has a call from God, and one day he's on his horse riding around Egypt, and he sees these Egyptians fighting, and then he sees this Egyptian beating up an Israelite, wink, wink, really one of his relatives, right? And you know what he does? He kills the Egyptian. Right? He kills the Egyptian. You know why? Because he has a call on his life, and he senses that God's called him to deliver these people out. All right? Now, the only problem is he's sensing he has a call, but he muffed up on the time. Anybody muff up on the timing? Okay, so he's sensing he has his call, but he totally blows it with the timing. So you know what happens? He has to go run out of Egypt. He hides on the backside of the wilderness, and later on he marries, and all this stuff goes on. And then God shows up in a bush, right? God shows up in the bush, and he talks to Moses, and he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to take your brother Aaron, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, hey, you need to let my people go. You need to release them. You need to let them go. Okay, you all know that part of the story, all right? So eventually they let him go. And how many of you have seen the movies? Right? The movies. Yeah, Moses, all right? And the movies, okay, here's Moses and a couple of million Israelites, Hebrew children, and God splits the Red Sea, and it's okay, and they come marching through, all these millions of Jews come marching through, and then Moses looks back and he's like, oh, okay, I think we're all through, I think we're all out. And then God, what does God do? Psh, the waters come down and the Egyptians that are chasing them in their chariot, they all die, the bad guys die. Let me tell you, God's not going to kill your enemies though, okay? Nope. Okay, but God wants to deliver you just like he delivered them. Whatever you're going through in life, okay, the same back then is the same for you. Everybody say, God wants to deliver me? Amen. Amen. So what happens if I go, yeah, but God, never start your sentence, yeah, but God, I really got myself into this mess. This is my problem. Well, no, but yes, you got yourself into this mess, but God wants to get you out of your mess. He still wants to deliver you. He still will. So the blood, amen. So the blood protects us. The blood delivers us. Number three, if you're taking notes, what else does the blood do? Now we're looking at Old Covenant. It still applies to us today. The blood marks a new day in our life. The blood marks a new day in our life. So years ago, this lady was coming to church, and her mom was out of state. Her mom was going to come and stay with her for a month. Her mom was 79 years old. Okay, and I know this girl because we were always praying for her mom. So mom's in town for a month. Right? And finally she talks her mom into coming to church here. And she hears the gospel. She raises her hand. She asks Jesus into her life. And the next week, 79-year-old lady got water baptized. I know. Guys, that marked her life. Receiving Jesus marked her life. It was a new day, right? It was a new day. So there is something really significant about the blood of Jesus. Amen? All right? The blood, I did this the other day. Anybody talk to Google or what's yours called, Alexa? How many times is the blood mentioned in the Bible? 350 times. And there was an argument between Alexis and Google, but no, I'm only kidding. But they said 350 times. So the blood's really significant, all right? It really is. And the blood is marks a new day in your life. A new day in your life. Now, for them, turn over. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Exodus, you're at 12, but back up to verse 2. Exodus 12, 2. Okay, we're talking about the blood marked a new day in their life. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. This month shall be your beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year. And then it goes on, and I don't want to read all this. It goes on and it talks about the children are going to come up and ask, hey, the children are going to ask you, hey, what about this stuff? Like, what about this blood? What about killing this lamb? What about this angel that passed over and none of us died, okay? So it's going to ask, and they're going to say, the blood that day marked a new day. How many of you remember that new day in your life? And listen, guys, I have a million mess-ups still. But you know what I run back to? Father, I remember the day that I asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you, Father, that day marked a new day in my life. Amen. You know, sometimes those are the times you're allowed to look back. And the devil's like, you are a mess up. I can't believe you did that 100 million times. And I go, nope, I remember the day I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. He forgave me, and I'm now his child, so it is okay to remember, because that marked a new day. Amen? Now, and also, I love the also, when I do muff up, when I do sin, okay? You just go, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I sinned. I did this thing wrong, and I thank you that I'm forgiven, that I have a new day, okay? No shame. Okay, if you're carrying shame, that is a stinky poop pile. You just need to get rid of it, okay? You don't have to carry that. That's what the blood of Jesus has done for us, all right? So the blood protects us, the blood delivers us, the blood marks a new day. And turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read this out of the Holcomb Christian Standard Bible because I liked all the words, all right? This is a part of number 4, but let me read this to you. Jesus, mediator of a new covenant. We have a new covenant. And to the sprinkled blood, which says or speaks or is a witness of better things than the blood of Abel. How many of you remember the story of Cain and Abel? Right? Who killed who? Cain killed Abel. And it says, when you read that story, that the blood of Abel speaks, still speaks, okay? Guys, we have the blood of Jesus that is better, right? Everybody say the blood of Jesus is better, all right? It's better than Abel's blood that speaks, okay? And listen, there's nothing better than the blood of Jesus. As a Christian, there's nothing better than the blood of Jesus, and you need to understand all that, and you need to start applying it, okay? Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're like, I don't even understand this. Well, in a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity, but let's review. The blood of Jesus, what? Protects us. The blood of Jesus delivers us. The blood of Jesus marks a new day. And here's number 4. The blood of Jesus speaks of a witness. Okay? That's what that scripture in Hebrews 12. The blood speaks of a witness. So, let me ask you this question. So let's go back to the Passover. That blood was a witness for them, all right? That blood was a witness for them, that they lived, okay? And that God had delivered them and God had protected them. So here's my question. I'm gonna step on toes, so get going. How has the blood changed your life? How has the blood been a witness in your life? In your home? How has the blood been a witness in your home? So back when we were, okay, can't name names, okay. So back when we lived over there, okay, my neighbor came up to me and she told me this story. She said her husband said, and these were, my neighbors were not believers, she says, how come our kids are sick all the time? And those Cashman kids, they're like never sick. It was the blood that was a witness to my neighbors. That was the blood that was a witness to my neighbors. By the way, my kids did get sick, but their kids were sick all the time, okay? So, and when I say what, the blood is a witness to your house, okay? Not because your house looks different and you have shutters and you don't, but what is in your house? What is upon your house? It's a testimony of the blood. It's a testimony of the blood. What's going on in your house, okay? So I did not meet Jesus till I was 20-something. I used to listen to music, like bizarre stuff. Don't ask me, okay? And we listened to music in my house all the time. It was just blaring. And it was just like, that was just kind of normal the way I grew up. I did not know Jesus. So first 20 years, we just listened to all kinds of music, like, so recently, I watched a documentary on PBS, and I was just flicking. I was just like, well, I don't know what I can do. Okay, none of you ever do that. So all of a sudden, I see this documentary about a female artist that I used to listen to. Her name is Carole King. Anybody know her? She used to sing a lot with James Taylor. Okay, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this. So I'm watching this documentary about her, and she originally started as a songwriter. She wasn't known for singing. She didn't know any singing. And you know what kind of impressed me? She was a stay-at-home mom. She worked, she just was a stay-home mom, and she'd write songs, and occasionally she'd go into the studio, and it was just really kind of cool. And then the documentary goes on, and they're showing her first concert. So before, she was just a songwriter, and then people would pull her in, and they're like, girl, you got a voice. You need to sing. So she does her first concert in Central Park. Now, I grew up outside there, and I'd been to Central Park for a bunch of concerts. So I'm like, oh, this is so cool. So I'm watching this documentary all about this, and she starts singing. She's got this, it's a word, sultry voice. I just like her voice. So she's singing on this documentary, and I'm start singing the words, and all of a sudden, I'm like, what came out of your mouth, D? Like, are you kidding me? You know, and I'm thinking about the song, the words from the song. Anybody read those words? Yeah, that you used to sing? Okay, none of you, you're just all so sweet. Okay, and I'm like now, I definitely would not be singing those words and in my house, okay? But again, you know, I grew up and we were just singing and listening to all kinds of music. Now my parents, they were cuties, they were older. Okay, they grew up in the big band era. So I did hear a lot of Frank Sinatra, okay? And at Christmas time, I really listen to him now. But, you know, but we were singing all sorts of stuff. And I'm not telling you what I listened to. But it was all stuff about bad words and cussing and drugs and doing bad things. And that's, you know, what we would listen to, that we would sing. I'm one of six kids. This was just, somebody had a radio blaring in there. Yes, we had radios blaring. Okay, and yeah, okay, and yeah. So then people would say, I wonder what's the matter with this generation, like, what they're just, you know, what this music isn't bad. This is not affecting them. Yeah, right. Okay? It must be about bad people. That's why the world is so messed up. No, you are listening, and it is going to start changing how you see and you do things. So, here's my question. Has Jesus, the blood of Jesus, changed your household? It changed Jack and ours. And listen, he listened to Worser. Like, ridiculous. Mom tried breaking them, throw them out. It was really funny. There was a big war about that. Okay, so now if you'd walk into my house, now if I walk into your house, is your house a witness to Jesus, to what the blood has taken you from and transferred you into? Okay? Because, you know, there should be peace in your house. Because of what Jesus has done, because what of his blood has done. It should, right? All right. So the blood protects us, the blood delivers us, the blood marks a new day, and the blood is a witness. So much so that you should be inviting people into your house, and they're just watching you, and please invite them to church, but you know what works better? Invite them to your house, and the witness of Jesus, and they're just going to be like, I see what you have. I want what you have. Amen? All right? And we had that happen all the time, okay? So, let me think. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay, pleading the blood is actually another way of exercising your authority. Yes, you have authority, but pleading the blood is another way of exercising your authority. Exercise it over your kids. And by the way, do you know the devil hates your marriage? He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So how about you go, Father God, I just plead the blood over my marriage, right? How about you do that? How about this? And listen, definitely over your kids. Praise God. Praise over your kids. I have one more quote and two more scriptures. Okay. Write this down. Another great quote. This one. All hell has broken in its power. Has been broken in its power. All hell has been broken in its power. All sin neutralized, the power of death overwhelmed, every human need paid once and for all by what? The blood of Jesus. I'm going to read this again, okay? All hell has been broken in its power. It's broken. The power of sin, the power has been broken because of the blood, okay? And all sin is neutralized, okay? Now, for me, I can choose to sin. None of you ever do that, right? But I can choose to sin. But really, sin has been neutralized because of the blood, right? And the power of death is overwhelmed, and every human need paid once and for all by the blood. So, Question. The same blood that was shed, the same blood that saved you, the same blood that delivered you, is it still working? Can you still apply the blood? Can you still cover you such and such with the blood? Good, you paid attention. Praise the Lord, all right? So I'm going to read this first Colossians 1 out of a different translation, and then I have one more scripture and we'll wrap up, okay? Colossians 1, 13, I'm reading this out of the Amplified Classic, okay? Listen, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself. Out of the control and the dominion of darkness. And he has transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Verse 14, we and in him we have redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins, okay? So how do we use the blood? The blood's still good today, y'all. Right? How we say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and that situation is not going to happen, and I just plead the blood over that thing. All right? So, last scripture. We read it last week, Revelation chapter 12. I love this one. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, 10. Then I heard a loud voice from saying in heaven, this is John, the Apostle John. He's on this island, okay? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who had accused them before God day and night has been what? Cast out, right? He's cast out. We talked about that last week, all right? He's been cast down. And they overcame him by what? By the blood. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death, okay? So I want to pray for y'all right now. And Father, I just pray that we just get still, and we just ask you, Lord, is there any area in our life where we've been overlooking the blood of Jesus? Is there any area in our life where we need to apply the blood of Jesus in situations, okay? And maybe for y'all, it's a work situation. Like, it has been crazy. It's like you are under attack every time you walk into those doors of work. And how about you need to say, okay, Father, I come to you, and I plead the blood of Jesus over this situation at my workplace. Okay, and then you come back a few days later, and you're like, whoa, this is like, wow. Well, what happened? It was the blood, amen? And maybe you've got some things going on in your home, all right? And we were forever having things going on home. But how about you say, Father, I just give place to the blood in my home. I give place to the blood in my home. Lord, I declare that our home is a testimony of you, Lord Jesus, and what you did by and through your blood. And our home is a place where you show up, amen? And we're going to say the blood of Jesus dominates our home in Jesus' name, okay? Guys, all of this is calling on your authority, but you also exercise it by the blood, all right? So, Father, I just thank you for the blood that Jesus shed. I thank you for the blood in our family. And I thank you, Father, that you're speaking to hearts, and maybe it's time to adjust. Like the Lord's going to say, hey, you need to adjust this. And how about you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to adjust. All right, so just get really quiet and say, you know, what is it, Lord? What is it, Father, that my home is a testimony? What is it, Lord? Just remind me that the blood delivers and protects, that your blood, Father, marked a new day in my life. Lord, I need to remember that, all right? Now, if you're here today and you're like, I don't have a testimony, Pastor D, about the blood in my life. Well, today I give you an invitation. With everybody's head bowed, and eyes closed, no looking around, but I'd like to give you an invitation to Jesus, amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And those that call on the name, call on the blood, man, he'd forgive. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor D, I'm ready for that testimony. I'm ready. I need Jesus. I want to pray for you and over you. Then no one's looking around. So if you're here and you've never prayed that prayer, you've never received Jesus, today's a great day. Or if you're here and you just kind of drifted. You know, we can drift from Jesus in our life. Now, he never moves, but we kind of drift. Well, today, would you say, I'm coming back. I'm just tired of doing this by myself. So I just want to pray over you. Okay, everybody say, Father, I realize I'm a sinner and that I'm far from you. And I need a Savior. I need the blood of Jesus to forgive me all of my sins. And today I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Amen. And I thank you that your blood was shed for me and that you were raised up and you were seated in the heavenlies. So today I call on your name and I thank you that I am now a child of God. Amen. I'm saved. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says, and it just kind of, my brain doesn't wrap around it, but you know, sometimes I just believe it because it's the Word of God. It says, all of heaven celebrates. Like they're just like going bananas. You know, they're like, they're back, they're in the kingdom. The child has been born again, right? Okay? So listen, we get excited about that. If you prayed that prayer, please come up and tell me. One, I want to give you a Bible. Or if you prayed that prayer just because you drifted, come up and tell me and I'm going to high five you and just continue to pray for you. But I want us all to stand and we're, Jared, can we do this? You know, okay, so I get to pick oldie but goodies about the blood. What did we sing last week about the blood? What can wash away my sin? Okay, so I picked another oldie. Tell me when you're ready, okay? I'm waiting for that. Okay, this is an oldie but goodie, and it says, the blood of Jesus that was shed. Can we start that again? Okay, this was by Andre Crouch, okay? And it's the blood that never loses its power. How many know that? Okay, well, all right. So first off, I am notorious for the last minute on Sunday morning asking my guys in the sound booth, can you do this for me? Because I don't know how to do it. And they just smile at me and going, Pastor D, it's not that easy. I was like, come on. And I beg and I cry. Okay, but this is the blood. Wanda, you might have to come up and say that. The blood that never loses its power. All right, and I'm not doing this acapella like last week, okay? That was a miraculous miracle. All right, say when. All right. All right, how about I read? That's okay. I'm going to read you the words. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Father, I thank you that your word, Father, your word, you continue to open everybody's eyes, give them revelation to the power of this blood that is for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I didn't have to sing for you. But we love you. It's a holiday weekend. Have a wonderful weekend. Go tell people about what Jesus has done. Amen.